Do we have that image? Is there an image we can throw up there? Yep, there it is. If you were here last week, you know that we were lucky enough to have a really slick Harley Davidson parked up front here, and it made a great visual, and we just couldn't keep that forever. So there it is in picture form. But the Harley, it was great to have it in here. I am happy to report that nobody did anything they shouldn't have or tried to write it out of the building. How silly would that have been? I wanted to write it out of the building. But we have this same image, so it's the same idea. It's just actually here. But that was a great reminder. It was a great visual. But does anyone remember why we had the motorcycle here? Yes, good, thank you. I'm so worried that people are going to say, I just remember, it was neat. No motorcycle, I've checked out already. Yeah, it was to remind us of the idea of maintenance. Because when you get a Harley, you're excited and it looks beautiful and it's so great and you just can't wait for it to be your best friend for the rest of your life. And if you don't take care of it over time, it breaks down. And this is true of so many things. Again, they say the best day of your life is when you buy a boat, and the second best day of your life is when you sell the boat. They say if you're a Jeep owner, that eventually you spend more time with the Jeep than you do with your family, and then eventually you spend more time under the Jeep than you do in it. You need to maintain things in your life, and it's not just the physical things. Last week we talked about it's important to maintain ourselves. Because things that we don't maintain break down over time. And this morning I want to talk about an area that you may not think about maintaining. But we count all these things as gift from God's. And the idea of maintenance, we have a fancy churchy word for that. It's called stewardship. How do we take care of the things that God has given us? With maintenance, okay? So we steward those things. We are good stewards. We maintain them. Another area in our lives, again, you may not think about that we need to maintain is the area of friendships. I'm going to ask the same question that she just asked the children. How many of you have a friend? Okay, for those of you not raising your hands, I need a friend. Let's talk after church. I give you a solemn vow this morning. I make a promise to you. I am going to make good on this. I will not teach you anything new this morning. My job is simply to remind you of the things that you already know, those things that are almost inherent. You're aware of them, but sometimes you don't stop and think about them. How do I maintain a friendship? I'm not going to give any revealing and new piece of information to you. I'm going to remind you of what you know you need to do. And you could very easily say, but Devin, in Scripture, when I read the things that Jesus says, he talks a lot more about how we treat our enemies than how we treat our friends. He talks about how we love our neighbor regardless of if we like them or not. Jesus talks about loving those that seem sometimes unlovable. Why are we talking about friends? Glad you didn't ask. I asked for you. Because once again, if we are to do those things like pray for those people that would harm us, if we are to show love to people that never show love to us, if we are to loan things to people that are likely not to give it back, boy, we're going to have to make sure that we're in a good spot to do that, right? And so one of the ways that we can help make sure we're in a good place is to, again, take care of what God has given us, and God has given us an incredible gift in friends. I want you to stop for a minute, stop, or maybe if you're not listening, start listening, and then stop. I want you to think about a good friend. Because most of your hands, on a serious note, went up. Think about a good friend. Wouldn't you call that friend a gift? Maybe you're not religious and you wouldn't say a gift from God. Fine. That's the terms I'm going to put it in. Put it in your own terms. Wouldn't you say that friend is a gift? I want you to think about what you like to do with your friend. I want you to think about some of the memories that make you chuckle. Maybe some of the memories that make you sad. Odds are they involve a person that is close to you. And that's a gift to be able to share that much life with them. So friends are a gift from God, and you know that to maintain a friendship, it takes work. And if you don't, just like a motorcycle, just like a Jeep, just like a boat, just like your home, it will break down if you don't maintain it. And so one of the other things you could very fairly ask is, well, Devin, is there anywhere in every book of the Bible all put together that we get taught about how to maintain a friendship? Nope. I'm going to make that up for you this morning. Actually, yes, okay? But it's not typically a teaching. Jesus didn't stand in front of his disciples and say, listen, friends, here's how you can be a good friend. Maybe one of you wants to die on the cross instead of me. It's not in a teaching. But again, you can find this. And I chose to say that, you know, the more difficult job would be, because we hear about Jesus and we hear about his followers or disciples, it'd be easy to look at those. I'm going to start going way back in old school into what we call the old school. No, we call it the Old Testament. In other words, the older writings in our Bible before Jesus. I'm going to start there and point out to you just a couple areas. Mind you, a couple. There are many that talk about the importance of friends and what a gift they are. I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes. Why? Because no other book in the Bible sounds more like a sneeze than that. I just love Ecclesiastes. Excuse me. But Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it has these words, and if you listen to them, you may have heard these before. Sometimes they get used at weddings. No problem with that. But this is significant. Listen to the observation the author makes. The author, you know, there's some people say, well, it was King Solomon and it was in his later days. And some people say, no, it was an unknown person who was very wise but held a high position. It doesn't matter. The author had a high enough position that his writing was recorded. And the book is full of insights that you can read and go, yup, that's true. So either way, whoever the author is, they were important and they had these observations. They were a person of stature, recognized by others, and they point out some common things. And so I want you to hear this. I saw something meaningless under the sun, beginning in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 7. I saw something meaningless under the sun. It was the bears. Gotcha. Okay. I saw. It actually says that in most Bibles. If you live in the region or Chicago, they've taken it out so your feelings aren't hurt. I saw something meaningless under the sun, it says. There was a man all alone who had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his labor, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one can be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, I know. I get it. I'm hearing the same things you're hearing, that we have been conditioned to and taught to hear this, if you've heard it before, most likely in the context of marriage. And so especially when I say friends, and it talks about two friends lying down together, you're like, what kind of friend? But listen, this is in a time period thousands and thousands and thousands of years removed from where we are today, where they didn't have the same luxuries we have and the same privileges that we have. And a lot of times, you didn't have a home, and it mattered where you camped at night. But all of that aside, the observation here is not just, well, if you're alone, survival of the fittest, so you're out. The observation is, how much greater is life when you have someone that you can share pieces of life with? And he names these different areas. So you get into trouble, it's great when you have a friend there that will help pick you up. If you need to defend yourself, you probably messed up. But all the better to have a friend that's willing to say, I'm going to step into your mess and help you whoop someone, okay? If you need help in whatever way, if you need help working, if you need help staying warm, it's all of these different areas that the author is saying it's great to have a friend. And then ending with that statement, this is on the side. Like, here's my main point. Here's the point I'm going to make, but it's for you. You can take it home and use it somewhere else. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken when he's been talking about two and two and two. Well, I'd like to assume that God is that third strand. How much better is a friendship? How much better is sharing life with someone and you involve God in that? It's all the stronger. Back to the main point. This writer, whoever it was in Ecclesiastes, makes a great observation that friends are an important part of life. In other words, as far back as this Old Testament writing, we can find wisdom in the scriptures that say, yeah, you know what? Friends are a great thing. But if we go to Proverbs, I'm just traveling down the road a little bit. Some of you are like, Proverbs, what the heck? Doesn't matter, okay? It's just more writings in the Bible. It's just little sayings that are wise, like look both ways before you cross the street. Well, that's kind of a modern day proverb, and it's a good idea. Especially when crossing 30. Trust me, I know. I walk the girls to school. Man. But anyhow, Proverbs are just these wise sayings. And in particular, there's one chapter in Proverbs that has a few wise sayings. And they bring out the blessings of what a friend can do. Because maybe you're thinking, I don't care. I have one friend. I don't always like them. Let's move on. No, listen. Here are the blessings that friends can bring. Friends help shape who we are. Pause and think on that for a minute. Friends help shape who we are. You might have a friend that says, hey, I really enjoy rap music. And you're like, I hate rap music. But if you're around that friend, odds are at some point you're going to hear rap music. I'm not talking about rap music. I'm saying that friend has just shaped you a little bit. Because they've either furthered you in your resolve that you hate rap music, or you have allowed the goodness that is rap music into your life and you have expanded in that way. But friends shape who we are. It says in Proverbs 27:17, just like iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. What are you doing when you're sharpening iron? You're actually shaping the edge so that it's fine, so that it can be useful. When you sharpen something, you're shaping it down to a fine point, so it can cut well. Just like iron is used to sharpen iron, so one friend can shape you, can sharpen who you are. Friends help us grow in different tastes in music, maybe learning new games. Think about that. Games, fun. If a friend teaches you a new game, you've grown in that way. Maybe hearing new information or getting a new perspective. You say, you know, I think X, Y, and Z about the country. And they say, yeah, but have you considered A, B, and C? Friends can actually shape us, develop us, help us grow as a person, something that's really important. Friends lift us up. A good friend does, I suppose. And if they're not lifting you up, perhaps they're not a good friend. Bonus lesson for all of you. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do you have a friend that you'd trust to give you advice? Like if you could just put the barriers down and say, I really need some guidance. I don't even know what to do with this. Do you have a friend that you would trust to give you advice? It lifts you up. They help you. Or how about this one? Friends call us to be our best. And listen to this passage. This is a simple little passage, and you could just breeze by it. It's a proverb. Again, it's just generally good advice, but I want you to hear this. It says volumes, okay? Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. How many of you like to be injured? Just me? No, nobody likes to be hurt. Nobody likes to have, like, you know, something inflicted on them. But when a friend tells you something, I think what they're getting at, when a friend reveals to you that you might be making a mistake, when a friend gently corrects an area of your life, sometimes it's like, hey, dang it, that hurts. But those kind of wounds that come from a true friend can be trusted. It's good for you. And that's what a good friend can do. It's another blessing that a friend gives you, that they will call you out when you're wrong and help set you on a better path. I love this about Jen, and I hate it at the time, and yeah, I'm calling Jen a friend, though she is my wife. You can be two in one. I hate it at the time, but I love when we, you know, take on a topic or we've got to talk to the kids about something or I'm fighting mad about whatever it is. And Jen has that way of finding the right moment and saying, Devin, you didn't approach that the right way, or you're just being a hothead, or you idiot. It's like, wait, you can't call me an idiot. Oh, she's right. But I'll take that, much as it hurts at the time, much as pride goes, oh, we've been assaulted. Like a wound that hurts from a friend, I'll take that. It can be trusted. All of that is to say, these are just some of the blessings that a friend offers. And all of that is still to say, look, that comes from our Old Testament. These are great pieces of advice. They're writings from the Old Testament, which, by the way, is just before Jesus' time. We like to talk about Jesus. He's a cool guy. But this is all before Jesus' time. So, another question you might ask, yes, but what about this Jesus feller? What does he say about friends? And again, I can't give you a teaching. I can read through where it talks about the words of Jesus, and I can't find a good teaching on friends from Jesus. But, with one T, if you listen, when you read about Jesus, you will find some incredible things that are mentioned about friends. In John chapter 11, verse 35, it's the shortest verse in the Bible in the English language. Jesus wept. And some of you remember that fact if you were in Sunday school or if you grew up in the church. You're like, I know the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And when you take it in its original language, it was not, but that's fine. Jesus wept. And that's about what you remember about it. You know the context for that? Jesus was traveling because back then they didn't have Mazdas or motorcycles or anything like that, so they had to walk everywhere. Jesus was a 2 days walk to his friend's house. And people met him partway and said, hey, your friend Lazarus passed away. When they mentioned Jesus' friend, Lazarus, had passed away, Jesus wept. This is the Son of God. This is the man who walked across water. This is the one who beat death. 1-0 Jesus over death. But he cried when his friend had passed away. Jesus shared enough life and let this person in enough to his life that it moved him to tears when he died. Or think about this one. In each of the Gospels, and I want to be clear about this. So, as we read the writings from a guy named Matthew, and as we read the writings from a guy named Mark, as we read the writings from a guy named Luke and a guy named John, in every one of those four books in our Bible that talk about Jesus' life, in every one, it talks about before Jesus would give up his life, before Jesus himself would die, he spent part of his last 24 hours with his, say it with me now, friends. He sat down and had a meal with them. He didn't try and teach the public. He wasn't reaching out to save someone that was lost. Before he died, Jesus spent those moments with his friend. And then, as he knew those that were going to kill him were coming to take him, he invited his friends to come and pray with him. Think about that. Our Lord had people that were so close to him in his human life that he said, this is it, the time's up. Will you just pray with me, pray for me, watch for me before they come? In these last moments of my life, I want you to be there. I'll feel better if you're there. The very human side of Jesus. I said that's recorded in Matthew, and if you don't believe Matthew, fine, it's recorded in Mark. Maybe you don't like Mark, fine, it's recorded in Luke. And if none of those are good enough, it's recorded in John. It's written down in all four books that mention Jesus, maybe because Matthew and Mark and Luke and John were each friends of Jesus that wrote that down because Jesus had asked them individually, Matthew, will you come and pray with me? Mark, would you have dinner with me? I'm not going to be around much longer. Luke, will you just watch before they take me? John, will you stay close to me? My heart's troubled. Think about that. Think about the importance of a friendship. And here's what I want to do. I want to flip this now and put it on your lives. Who do you have that you would trust with your life? Maybe you're like, I'm not going to die on a cross anytime soon, so that's irrelevant. No, come on. Who do you have that you would trust with your life? Maybe that's too dramatic. Let's step back just a bit. Who do you have in your life that you trust with your deep secrets? And if you're saying, I'm married, and so it's the person I'm married to, that's awesome. I appreciate that, and I approve of that. But I'm trying to ask, maybe outside of that even, who do you have that you would trust your most guarded secrets with? Who do you have that can wound you in a way that can be trusted, that can call you to a better path? Who do you have that you have fun with? Who's that person in your life that helps you to grow, helps you be more than you are? And here it comes. Grab onto the edge of the pews. Here it comes. Thank you. Who is it that you haven't done maintenance in your relationship with? Because we are terrible at this. And you know what you need to do. You need to talk to them regularly. You need to be there for them like they've been there for you. You need to apologize when you've messed up. Come on, I know myself. I know I mess up. I know I need to say I'm sorry to friends. And what's always there to try and stop it? Hello, my name is Pride, and you won't apologize today. Otherwise, we look small. Listen, where do you need to make amends? Maybe you say, well, I used to have this good friend, but they stopped talking to me. Me. Talk to them. Maybe you say, well, this person hurt me. They were a good friend and they hurt me. Tell them that. Where do you need to do maintenance with your friends? Because your friends will shape you, and you have the opportunity to shape them. It's reciprocal. It's an awesome thing. God gave us the gift of friends. And even our friendships, we need to maintain those. They help us to be better people, and they give us the opportunity to make someone else's life better. So here's your homework. That's right, I'm giving you homework again. Because so many of you said, I enjoyed having additional homework. No one said that. So this is the point where I want you to stop looking at me and don't look at your neighbor. This is where I want you to make a note in your phone or your tablet. This is where I want you to scribble this down. This is where I want you to grab an offering envelope and fill it with money and also write this on it. I want you to write down a list of who your good friends are. Don't be like Bobby and Shirley and Dan. No, who are your good friends? I want you to do that. Some of you are still sleeping. I hope that you feel well rested after this message. Who are your good friends? Who would you allow to correct you in life? All those things that I just asked. And here's what I'm asking you to do. You can keep ignoring this and you can keep shutting it out, but listen, what do you need to do for those good friends to maintain your relationship? Maybe you're like, oh, I can think of these good friends and we're still on good terms. Fantastic. Send them an appreciation note. Invite them over. Give them a call this afternoon and be like, I just want you to know you have blessed my life. But again, maybe it's some of the difficult things. You're like, well, this person was a friend and I haven't heard from them. Doggone it, call them. Why do they have to make the first move if they're a good friend? You're not being a good friend. Okay, maybe you need to apologize. This is very, very, very much directly from the words of Jesus that you've got to acknowledge where you've got wrong in your life and you've got to work to make it right. Don't wait for them to do that. Maybe you need to say, you're like, you know, I have a good friend and we just haven't set up time in forever. I need to do that. You know what I do twice a year and I'm trying to do it three times a year? I have a bro down. What's a bro down, you ask? I have a good friend that I know I can be stupid with. You're like, you're stupid every Sunday. I know, but they don't judge me for it. Okay, I have a good friend that I know I can play video games with, and I can be stupid with, and I can get together and eat dip dish pizza with, and it's important for me to do that because I am at my best when I have this time, and I try and call this friend to be their best. Twice a year, I schedule a bro down. But maybe you need to do that, is what I'm saying. Maybe you're like, I just haven't gotten together with, or we just haven't seen in forever, and it's time. All I'm asking is that God has given you the gift of friends. What do you need to do to maintain those friendships, okay? That's your homework. You're going to identify those friends, and you're going to write down what you need to do, and then you're going to look at what you have written down, and you're going to do it! Writing it down is the easy part. Doing it is the hard part. Do it! Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for all that you give to us. I want to thank you for the things that we take for granted that we aren't even aware of. I want to thank you for the new morning. I want to thank you for forgiveness. I want to thank you for rain when the earth needs it and sunshine when we need to play. And I thank you, God, that you've given us friends as a part of our lives. To walk the earth alone would be a ridiculous and sad affair. But God, you have blessed us. Help us to take care of what you have blessed us with, that in all things we may glorify you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.